councillors, please stand. May we, the council of the town of Bassendean, being mindful of the code of conduct, have the integrity and wisdom to consider the matters before us honestly, graciously and for the greater good of the town. Thank you. Welcome everybody, and to start with I'd just like to take a moment to acknowledge on behalf of the town of Bassendean that our town was founded on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and to say that we pay our respects to their elders both past and present, and that we honour the Noongar people of this land. So thank you all for being here tonight. I just want to bring to everyone's attention that the meeting is recorded, so if you stand up and ask questions or make statements, that will be included on the recording, and then that will be uploaded to our website, which is accessible to the public. That excludes, of course, any items that are confidential in nature. Also want to let people know that we have our briefing sessions now a week prior to the council meeting. So last week council met to consider the matters on, not to consider, to ask questions, to hear from members of the public, and have time to think about what was presented, and in the aim of having more well-informed decision making. So some of the questions have been asked a week earlier, so if you're not hearing as many questions tonight from councillors, it may be because some of them were answered last week. So next thing on the agenda is public question time. So we've had Mr. Yates, who has given us, I think, 11 questions during the week for this public question time. The staff have kindly answered them in detail, and that's written in the agenda at Mr. Yates' request. So thank you to the staff for preparing those answers. I'd now like to welcome anybody else who would like to ask questions. So if that is yourself, what I'd like to do is to raise your hand. I'll call you in turn. You can come to the centre here where the podium is. I need you to state your name and your address, and then if you direct the questions to me, and if I'm not able to answer it, I'll ask one of the staff members to answer it on my behalf. So is there anybody that would like to ask a question? Mr. Butler.
Gary Butler, 20 Hague Street, Ashfield. I'm not a soccer fan, but soccer is the biggest growing sport in Australia. I cannot believe this short-sighted view of this council to reject the soccer centre on Ashfield Reserve. This would have been a boon for Ashfield, it would have been a boon for the town of Bassendean and the eastern suburbs generally. I'd like to know how many of the town of Bassendean residents and ratepayers were actually quizzed about this and asked their opinion on this soccer centre. Did you survey Eden Hill? I didn't get a survey in Ashfield. Did you survey Bassendean? Or was it just because of some disgruntled neighbours who live close to Ashfield Reserve? Was that that turned your opinion? I believe it's a short-sighted, I think it's a wrong decision. This would have been an absolute state-of-the-art facility. And we need something like that in Ashfield. Soccer is the only sport that hasn't got a headquarters. Hockey's got headquarters, you know, netball's got headquarters, but not soccer. So I would like this decision to be rethought over. Thank you.
I can answer some of your questions if you'd like. So you asked about the survey.
Yeah.
So this project was a Liberal government election commitment. Mm. So as you might have heard, prior to the last state election, there was an announcement that if re-elected, that the Liberal government would build the home of soccer on Ashfield Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
The council, or the previous council, had at that time chosen to support the project, and that was based somewhat at least on the feedback we had received from community through a survey. So I can't remember exactly. It was Eden Hill, Ashfield and Bassendean were all surveyed, but it was a random selection. I think, was it 5% of the total population? Or?
So we posted out 500 paper-based surveys to a random sample of households, and we also had a survey online for all households. We had copies of the survey available in the library and the customer service centre as well.
So 500 respondents out of 15,000 ratepayers, to me, is not a strong response. I spoke to Gary Ansett on 6PR.
Can I just continue and then I'll...
Yes.
So that wasn't meant to be a conclusive survey. That was just for us to get a sense of how the community was feeling about this project. And One of the shortcomings of that survey was that there wasn't a lot of information available, and that was partially, mainly because the Department of Sport and Rec were not willing at that stage to release a lot of the details. So it was difficult for people to make an informed decision around that project. And that was challenging for us as a council because we wanted to be able to let people know what the project would involve. Then, we got those survey results. There was support. I think some of the people, particularly around the Ashfield Reserve, were expressing concerns, and those concerns were mainly around traffic and parking and lighting, lack of access to that space, which is currently, you know, very accessible to the public. Then when the Premier at the time came and announced it and showed plans, that allowed people to see a bit more of the proposed detail, and that really was, that created quite a lot of angst. And a lot of the councils were sitting around the table now, were in the middle of, or were about to start campaigning, and did a lot of extensive consultation through door knocking, and very clearly there was concern from people who were going to be directly affected by that particular proposal. So I don't think council was anyway saying that having a soccer facility was a bad thing. The message that I was hearing was that that location was not necessarily the right location for that facility. So that was basically...
it's an ideal location. Whiteman Park was the other... Hang on.
Do not interrupt.
Excuse me,
Councillor.
I'll finish now. So, yeah, there were some other locations, and we've since had... communication with the Department of Sport and Recreation. Our understanding was that because it was an election promise, that that project had gone away. We then had some more communication with them, and it seemed that that wasn't the case, that the state government was still potentially looking at doing this project, even though there was no funding at this point in time. So there are other locations that this facility can go, and I believe that that's what the Department of Sport and Recreation...
Yeah, that's what they're looking at. And I bet you Frank Drago Reserve in Bayswater, right near the Melton train station, would be the ideal site. And thank you, Bathendine. Good on you. Just keep knocking everything back. This is a progress council.
Thank you. We've heard your...
You're right. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I love where my rates are going, yes.
Okay, is there anyone else who would like to ask a question? Yes.
Hi, I'm Nathan Jarvis from One Walter Road. Last time I was here, this fell down, so I'm just going to get that. I'm asking questions in relation to the proposal to reopen Walter Road, item whatever is on tonight's agenda. I specifically would like to ask if the town has sought advice from Main Road Western Australia in regard to their plans for Lord Street, as was discussed at the community meeting, firstly. And secondly, I would ask what the town has done in terms of setting parameters and an overarching vision for the proposed Bassendine traffic study.
Can I try and ask the person
on the back? Yes, through the chair. We had some preliminary discussions with Main Roads prior to the workshop that occurred on the 16th of January, and we asked them for their opinion in regard to the options.
Yep, just before you do, so you mentioned Main Roads,
yes.
And what their plans are. So as you're probably aware at the moment, Lord Street up to Morley Drive is under the Town of Bassendine's control, and then north of that is under City of Swan's control. I think we may have discussed this when I met with you, that at the moment City of Swan is doing some plans for their section of Lord Street, and their intention is to make it dual carriageway, and... this hasn't come before council yet, but I suspect that that's not necessarily the ideal outcome for Bassendine. So there's been some initial discussions with the City of Swan around what the Town of Bassendine's plans are for Lord Street. We do need to formalise what that would look like, but those discussions are underway or starting at this point in time. Did you want to add anything about the traffic study?
Oh, I can just add a little bit. There's no specific vision itself for the transport study. The council, through its community strategic plan, actually had a number of objectives about having a high degree of connectivity, and that relates also to walking and cycling and other modes of transport. The outcome of the transport study will be actually to produce what they call an integrated local transport plan, which it looks at all modes of transport and trying to ensure that they're interconnected and so they all link up with one another, so it's hopefully at the end of the day you have a seamless approach to transport within the area.
Absolutely, that's fantastic. But you didn't answer the first question, was whether or not you sought advice from Main Roads as to what their plans for Lord Street are in the future.
Lord Street is a local, is a district distributor road. So
where of that?
We have not sought any clarification from them in regards to what their intentions are for Lord Street.
Okay. So the sort of twin imperatives of local planning, which are to do with supporting the infill, the state planning, the infill requirements, and for lessening car dependency, I'm assuming, given that that was part of your community briefing, are two of the guiding lights which sort of underpin planning for the town. The proposal to reopen Walter Road and alter egress arrangements for the citizens of Success Hill run contrary to both those twin imperatives. I'm bemused and amazed that the relevant crash statistics for the Success Road, Lord Street versus Walter Road, Lord Street were not provided to the community at the community briefing, although they were part of the town briefing package.
Mr. Can you try and phrase this as a question at this point? Please?
Why weren't those statistics provided to the community?
I don't have them on the moment, but I think they were very low. It was something like 3-5 accidents within the last 3 years. So
it was 3 in 5 years for Success, 13 in the same period for Walter Road. Given that the concerns of the citizens were safety, why weren't these
statistics
here, certainly?
I think what Mr. Simon Stewart Dawkins is saying is that, and of course each crash is significant, but in terms of the impact or the influence they would have on main roads supporting various solutions, that wasn't going to have an impact. So I suspect that is the primary reason why it wasn't included.
I don't want to guess as to the primary reason. I'm asking you, and I don't think you should be guessing either. I just think if the concern of the residents was safety, the relevant objective data, crash statistics, should have been provided to the community, and it wasn't. I'd like to know why it wasn't. If safety is the concern, safety measurements should have been provided, and they weren't.
I don't think there's an answer for that at this point. And thank you. Like, the statistics have now been provided, so that helps to fill in the gaps. But
excellent, because in the OPIS local traffic plan, of course, this Walter Road, Lord Street intersection was identified as the 7th worst intersection in the entire town, having a social cost getting upwards of $700,000. So what I'm really trying to get at is Lord Street is the problem, not how many roads lead to Lord Street, but Lord Street itself. It's a busy road, and no matter how many roads you've got to get onto it, it remains busy unless we do something about it. Now, I've sought...
Mr. Jarvis, I'm going to have to give you one more minute and then have to move on to somebody else's question.
Sure. So I've put together a petition to raise Lord Street as a primary concern, which I'll be forwarding to the town. And I would really just like to go back to my second question, which is, what are the town's parameters that they'll provide to the consultant for the Bassendean traffic plan? There's no point giving them a problem without telling them what you would like the solutions to be.
I think
part of the consultant's role will be to consult with Main Roads over the Lord Street design. The questions we want to know is is the future sort of design for Lord Street, but also what might the impact and effect might be if they don't go through the proposed duplication of Lord Street. Because obviously there is some more wider regional traffic issues, and I think part of the problem with traffic through Bassendean is passing through, and so whether there's other alternate routes that might be available for the through traffic to utilise, and hopefully then as you come into Bassendean there's more, perhaps a better word might be, but a calmer traffic environment, I guess.
So
that's part of the aspect that the traffic study will be looking at.
So what I'm hearing you saying is that if we're giving a brief to the traffic consultants to go out and give us feedback about how we can make things work, you're saying that it would be good at the beginning to give them a vision of what we want for the town.
Precisely.
I'm hearing that.
You're going to get a garbage in, garbage out thing unless you have an overarching vision for them as to how you wish your planning to be, what sort of imperatives will guide what they do. Or else they won't consider social costs.
No, it's a very good point.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
As one of the most affected by the proposal for the reopening of Walker Road, I believe myself and my fellow residents should have the loudest voice, that being a pretty fair assumption that the most effective should have the loudest voice, and we would seek to have direct representation to the consultant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Okay, so we'll move on to statements by members of the public. If there's anybody that would like to come and make a statement on any of the agenda items. Mr. Yates.
It's a good news, bad news thing.
Oh.
Not a problem. I just really want to say thank you very much to the town for actually doing the light survey. Bad news is that, you know, six of the seven roads that were surveyed came underneath the barrier. Good news, I guess, even though I had a phone call at a few minutes to 8 of the night of the 18th of December, when the guy wanted to do the light testing to tell me to turn my lights off, and I wasn't there, I was actually cooking meals for somebody. I think about 3-4 minutes is just a bit tight to actually go outside and turn the lights off. And I guess also in the street at the time, there were three other sets of lights on, and they didn't seem to get contacted either. But good news is that, you know, he was able to compensate for that and compensate for the full moon when that was on and all the rest. I guess bad news is I get a bit sad when we talk about LED lights being $500 to replace. Take out one light and put in another one that's an LED. Even though its use is only about a fifth a pound, it's brighter and lasts five times as long. You can buy these lights off the shelf for about $50, not $500. So we watch this space with interest, and I thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further statements? Okay, thank you. We'll close question time and statements by members of the public. So moving on to item 3, there's attendances, apologies and applications for leave of absence. So we've got an apology from Councillor John Gangell, and he's also requested leave of absence, so this is retrospective from last Tuesday until tomorrow, being the end of February. Do we have a mover to accept that leave of absence? Councillor Brown, seconded Councillor Quinton. Anyone against? All those in favour? And that's passed unanimously. Any other applications for leave? Sorry, Councillor Hamilton.
From the 14th to the 18th.
Of March?
Yes.
Any others? And a mover to accept that leave of absence? Councillor Nikitiuk, seconder. Councillor Wilson, all those in favour? That's passed unanimously. So moving on to item 4 is deputations. So we've got one deputation this evening, that is on item 13.1, and we have Mr. Tony Chapman and Mr. Vernon Butley. So if you would like to come to the desk here. So Mr. Chapman is the agent for the owners of the property, and Mr. Vernon Butley is the planning consultant, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So you have 10 minutes to address council, and then at the end of that time, councillors can ask you questions on what you've presented. So welcome, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mayor and councillors. Well, I won't go over what we did the other day last week at the briefing session, mainly to get Mr. Chapman to say a few words and then answer questions. We're obviously not privy to what's in the recommendation, so we can't comment, but certainly, as I expressed last week, we're looking for certainty and want to be on with the project.
As long-standing council, we know we've been endeavouring for some time to develop the land which highest and maximum use, which is commercial, and to that end, we've been for the last 5 or 6 years endeavouring to purchase the council land on any corner, which will enable us to market the land in a much more practical way and to entice a more genuine developer of that land. We've gone by reaching agreement with the council on the value of the land, but it's since then it hasn't progressed any further. Until it does progress any further, it makes it very difficult for us to go to the marketplace and tell our prospective less lessees that, that we can do this or that. Depending on who the lessee is, they have different requirements, so it's very different, very difficult to give account to any concrete plan as to what will happen with the rest of the land until we know whether we can or cannot buy the council land.
So last week, when you were present, we discussed, so you mentioned that it hasn't progressed, but last time the council considered this, there was a resolution that required a concept plan to be presented to council, and that hasn't been done yet. And from our discussions last week, my understanding was that the thought from the owners that you represent was that that wasn't reasonable if there hadn't been studies done on the contamination of the site yet. From our perspective, we need to know that we're going to get a good outcome for our community on that location, so that's not something that we're willing to compromise on.
Well, the concept plan was never reliant on the application for the concern of contamination. That wasn't the issue at all. The issue was, as you just said, or you implied that we were waiting for a result on the contamination. That's never been in our mind. The concern is whether we can or can't buy the land, because we can't give you a development, we can't give you an overall plan, we know whether we can or can't buy the land. We can't give you a concept plan as to what we're going to do with it, with the rest of the land, until we know whether we can or can't buy the land.
Yes, but under the Local Government Act, we can't just sell land privately without there being us being able to consult the community about what's going to go there. So from our perspective, there's a requirement there to be at least some kind of vision for that piece of land. And I may have misinterpreted last week, but I heard that from the owners of the land that you're representing's perspective, they wanted to know what was happening on the site from a contamination point of view before they were willing to have a look at
that was my point. It's an important element from how can we design something until we resolve the contamination issue, but there's also the commercial aspect as well.
No, I appreciate that. Are there any other councillors that would like to ask questions? Councillor Lukicic?
So you mentioned pending the site investigations and sort of agreement from council, you're not able to finalise what may occur at the site. Are you able to elaborate on some potential options, even if you can't definitively say
Yes, we think we can say that the prospective lessees have indicated that if it's a development which is a small development, a small supermarket, it's likely that they'll want complementary services attached to their building. But if it's a large supermarket, they wouldn't want competition, of course. So in other words, we go from roughly 1,200 square metres to 3,500 to 4,000 square metres, which is a big difference. So until the type of developer or the type of lessee is known to us, we can't go a lot further. We can't go to them and say, we've got this rectangular piece of land. I know one of the concerns of the council was that it's a good time to do the land bank. The fact is that we've said in our submissions to the council that in the event that we don't develop the land within a certain period of time, the council has the opportunity to buy it back.
And how does the site contamination inform whether it will be a small or large supermarket development?
As I alluded to last week, we have spoken to the Department of Water and Environment Regulations, and they're not prepared to consider any applications or to look at anything there until we look at the contamination issue, and that pertains directly to your site, but what are the implications? it's just, there are too many variables. And as I said last week, if we do prepare a plan now without having this knowledge, that will take its own life. And unfortunately, if you can't make it, that's what it's
about. It's still not clear on, is it if contamination occurs in one segment, not the other, that would impact on the size? Or?
Yeah, well, it goes to a lot of things. It's, what's the contamination like? What's coming out? If there's anything coming out of the ground? So that directly relates then to what you can do on the site in terms of sensitive uses, food, living, or just plain car parking or something like that. So that's the conundrum, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, can I just ask, Mr. Jarvis, would you mind clarifying, because we've had this discussion before, around how local government is able to dispose of property?
Well, that's our conundrum.
Yes.
The conundrum we face is that local governments are required to dispose of land by either tender or auction. However, if they want to do it by private treaty, they have to be able to provide to the community all of the details of the development, all of the considerations which will the council receive, a recent valuation within the last 6 months, so the community can say, this is what the council is going to get, this is what it's worth, this is what it's going to look like. These are all of the details. We're going to give some feedback to the council. We're in a similar conundrum to you. We can't do that. We can't say to you we're going to sell it without being able to do that. So that's the conundrum that we face. And they're the private treaty provisions, and we can't avoid them. If you were a charitable organisation, which you're not, there would be a Guernsey there. You could actually say to the community, well, it's exempt. Even then, I think for a piece of land like that, the council would consider it too important not to still go to the community. But in the case of a commercial buyer, we are bound by that requirement. And the community will not let us short shift that.
Councillor Brown, you had a question?
Yes, thank you. Is it the case that you are going to pursue commercial development on that site, or will you have that converted to residential? The reason I ask that is there is an identical block to the east of New York, that in fact has been converted as a residential development. Can you at least tell us what your intention is in that
respect? All along, for ever since ceased to be a supermarket and support shops, it's been held by the family with a view to eventually redevelopment. Its highest and best use is a commercial development, not a residential development. The value of the land is far more valuable. Far more valuable as a commercial development because it's zoned correctly. It's zoning, if it wasn't zoned correctly for a supermarket or shops or whatever, it would take a lot longer for the development process to take place. The zoning is paramount for family. Because our advice more of our valuers are that it's far more valuable as a commercial development as opposed to a residential development.
Councillor
Anderson?
Councillor, have you finished? So on the question of the Local Government Act, section whatever it is, a suggestion would be, and I would normally approach it this way, some sort of phasing of a resolution, okay? Phasing is, well, if we do the investigation, depending on what comes out of the investigation, we then do the plan that Councillor Hughes was talking about. And that would provide some certainty. But at the moment, the way the resolution is, it's got certain dates in it which were wrong, and no certainty about an outcome. More about trying to get certain.
I'm not sure the dates were wrong, they just passed.
No.
Yeah.
It's an expiry issue, not a dates being wrong issue. The issue is that if you spent money and we spent money on a proposal, and then it went out to the community and the community said, if we don't like that, then you will have wasted your money and we will have wasted ours.
Right.
If we wanted to sell the land to recoup the value of it, then the council could tomorrow go out to tender or go out to auction.
Sure.
If that's what we wanted to do, but it's always been this council's idea that piece of land that we own should be used as a catalyst to see the piece of land alongside it, and in fact, originally also the land alongside that, developed into a suitable a development that the community would be quite proud of, rather than what it's looked like for some years. And that's the whole issue. Yes, the contamination is a bone of contention. It was partly remediated when the council, when the service station closed and the council bought the block, the tanks were removed. But I believe the standards in those days were not as high as they are now, and that there are still some issues there. Although I believe the boreholes are also still there. But that being said, depending on what's below the ground, it could be a very expensive exercise. And we spend the money, you spend the money, and then the community says we don't like it. That's the issue.
Councillor Hamilton, did you have another question?
Following on from your presentation last week, have you done any site exploration on your block of land about contamination? Have you done any preliminary work at all on your block?
No.
So your preference is that this council does preliminary work on their block for contamination without you investigating your own block first?
Oh, sorry. No, that's not right. We're talking about doing both at the same time.
Okay.
So we've paid for that. So we've paid for, and it might not just be our land either, it could be offside. So, but certainly, lot four, which is ours, and lot five, which is yours, be considered at the same time. That's where we're going. That's the consultant proposal we have at the moment.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but if it's going to be, as you say, the highest use would be commercial use, obviously it would be surrounded by car parking. So how does the contamination influence it if most of that ends up being car parking around the commercial use premises?
Well, until we know where it is, I mean, we can just make it that way, but it's not very good. But until we know where the items are, it might be clear. My view is it's clear. Well, I'm certainly hoping that way. And until we have got a view for where it all is, it's out to see. Well, that's in a positive way. We designate the uses on the site.
That's what we'll see.
So I take it your concern then is that petrol and or oil may have escaped from some of the tanks from where it was a petrol station and then have migrated from that site in other areas. That is what you're looking to test?
Sure.
And is there anything stopping you from putting in some test cores on the boundary on your side of the property now to see if in fact any contamination had migrated from that site?
Is there nothing stopping you from doing that? Until we could do both at the same time, it made economic sense to do drill holes on your property and ours.
Can you understand why some people in the community might have feelings of cynicism about your client's genuine intent to do something with this property? They might think, for example, that the real intent is just to increase the value of the property you already hold by adding another contiguous property. Continue to sit on it for an extended period of time.
Well, that's why we made it clear that if we did that, the council would have the opportunity to buy it back.
The opportunity or the right
to buy it back? The right to buy it back.
On the same terms?
Sorry?
On the same terms that it was And is this just to facilitate the testing that you want them to do?
No, the testing can be done. I'm pretty sure that can be done in two or 3 months. Until we know how any contamination is there and how far it goes. If it goes goes on to our property to a large degree, well, we need to readjust everything. And if it's too extensive, we throw our hands up in the air and say goodnight.
But you could already drop test holes down on your own property to see if in fact any contamination has it once you decide to do that.
You say that if you segregate and you don't develop the requirement to segregate or divide the land back, then what are your plans for your block of land?
Well, we don't have any long term. We've only been looking at this as an opportunity. We have been looking that far ahead. We want to do this deal. If we don't do this deal, well, we want to have to relook at it.
And your proviso of getting a concept plan is based on the contamination report, is that right?
No, not only. It's based on the fact that until we know how the size of our land and the configuration of our land, we can't go to the major players and say this is the land to develop. They're not going to be important to us in the current form. So until we've got more certainty as to where we're going, they won't talk to me about a long-term lease.
And do they understand the constraints that we're under from the government
back to them? We haven't got them to that.
Okay, so you haven't explained to them.
Thank you. If the lock were to go on the open market via tender or auction, no doubt you'd be a bidder. It might be prudent to, before you bid, to put a couple of test files down on your side of it, because that auction might be to take the block as is. Like I said, we need to realise the best value for our ratepayers. If we go down that track, it might be actually prudent to point out just if there is any contamination. You have a comment on that?
That sounds interesting. Just to go down that path and depending on what happens, period of time here, when you go down the path, but obviously from that moment we've agreed to pay for the contamination reports. If the contamination is far more than we have anticipated, that cost is still our cost, you know, that becomes $1,000.
So the cost of remediation is not taken off the cost?
The cost of remediation will be, but not the cost of it. If we don't proceed, if we find that the reports that come back to us are far more extensive than we anticipate, we'll draw our own
profit. Yeah, so just to clarify, the cost that they're offering is to do the testing, not to do the remediation.
I understand the implications of the remediation to the council. I don't accept what you say about the cost of putting the bores down to sample down to a certain depth of what is essentially sand. And I think that we could do that now. So you have some certainty as to what's happening.
I think Councillor Hamilton has one last question.
So potentially we've had a situation where we do the site contamination testing that you purchase the block at a discounted rate because it's contaminated, that there's remediation costs that are paid for, and potentially you could have a situation at some time in the future where you still put a car park over it and we've actually ended up with less value for the land. land than if we put an option through.
Well, whoever you sell it to will have to remediate the land. Whether you sell it by private treatment or whether you sell it by tender, whoever buys the land and develops the land, you'll have to, before they do anything with it, they'll have to remediate. Whether it's us or whether it's someone else, I'll have to remember, you can't develop the land unless it is a member to the Department of Water and
I guess what Councillor Hamilton was saying, though, is that there may be the potential to build something that is going to be of more community value on that site other than a car park. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I just think that without... Now, obviously, we only have three ways as a local government in how we can dispose of the land. And the climate treaty, if we do not advertise to our ratepayers what is happening, and supposing we do advertise and it's a different outcome, well, then that creates all sorts of problems as well. So this is why the previous motion was worded in a certain way. Much as it's difficult, it is nevertheless the, as far as I can tell, the manner in which local government dictates that private treaties are to be conducted.
Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you both, Ms. Chapman and Mr. Butler, for your time, and we'll be considering your item later in the agenda, obviously behind closed doors. So, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, item 5 is confirmation of minutes. I'd just like to point out a couple of corrections. I believe Councillor Quinton already identified one, but it hasn't been amended in the minutes that we've got. That's on item 11.4. It records Councillor Wilson is voting twice and Councillor Quinton is not voting at all, so that needs to be corrected. And then item 13.2, it incorrectly records the CEO's date of when the contract's expiring. It says the 19th of January, and I believe it's the 15th of January. So, item 5.1A, do we have a mover?
With those corrections.
Yep, with those corrections. Councillor Hamilton, seconded Councillor Quinton. All those in favour? It's passed unanimously. And item 5.1, that they're confirmed as a true record. With those corrections. Councillor Wilson, Councillor Quinton, all those in favour? Passed unanimously. There's no announcements, no petitions, so we'll move down to item 8, declarations of interest. I believe there are two, so Councillor Wilson.
Yes, I believe I have an impartiality interest in relation to
10.11.
Agenda item 10.11, as I'm a frequent user of the capacity of laws.
Just make sure you fill out the form. And
I'm declaring a financial interest in item 10.13 because I am the CEO and it's a recruitment process which will commence in the near future. So I intend to leave the room.
Okay, thank you. No others? Okay, thank you. Okay, so there's no business deferred from the previous meeting, so I'll move on to the reports. So the items that are coming out on block this evening, I've got items 10.2, 10.3, 10.5, 10.6, 10.7, 10.8, 10.10, 10.12, 10.13, 11.1, 13.1, 13.2, and 13.3. Are there any others? Yep. And 10.11. Are there any others that Council would like taken out of en bloc? Okay, so can I have a mover for the remainder to be carried en bloc? Councillor Mikichuk, seconded Councillor Hamilton. Anyone against? All those in favour? And that's passed unanimously. Yes?
Can I just make a very brief statement, please? I just wanted to say that something a little that Mayor alluded to earlier, is that this council, unlike previous councils, have had have a briefing session a week before rather than an hour before the Order Council meeting. gives us time to consider matters and come to the debate. And as well as that, it was opened up for members of the public. A lot of the debate about decisions that are going to be made tonight were commenced and decided then. I would urge people that are community members of the County of Bassendean to come to those briefing sessions because they are open to you. The reason I'm saying this is it may overcome any misunderstanding we have tonight about the lack of some lack of input we may be having.
Thank you. Can I just clarify one thing that Councillor Brown said that I would disagree with? He said about commenced the debate. So at the briefing sessions, it's very clear guidelines that that is a forum for us to ask questions and to seek clarification. So it's not actually a forum where councillors come and debate. So there's no misunderstanding. It is a very good point because I think I can speak for us that everyone is feeling much more comfortable with the amount of time we've got to consider matters and hopefully all result in a better outcome for the town of Bassendean, which is what we're ultimately here for. Okay, so item 10.2, this is the street lighting audit. We have an officer recommendation. I have a foreshadowed motion yet from Councillor Quinton.
Do you want me to read the foreshadowed motion?
Sure, Councillor Quinton,
if you can. I understood that.
Be nice, everybody.
My foreshadowed motion is that Council revokes notice of motion at the OCM 24th of November 2016, which reads that the Town of Bassendean allocates funds in the budget review to upgrade footpath lighting within 200 metre radius of the successor railway station to the minimum main roads WA lighting design guidelines of no less than 5 lux, and that this being a warm white light not interfere with the structural integrity of the significant Norton Oak fig tree in Thompson Road and include pedestrian lighting through Kelly Park. Council notes the consulting engineer's street lighting report and the preliminary information received from Western Power in regards to the proposed new light emitting diode LED replacement program. Omits the original 2, omits the original 3, omits the recommendation 4. The new 3 is waits until Western Power completes its proposed new light emitting diode LED replacement program within July 2018 and presents its findings to the Town Assets Committee for further investigation, and 4, requests officers obtain a quote from Western Power for the installation of an additional street light bulb on Thompson Road in accordance with the consultant's report.
Now, because there's a revocation note in there, we need 2 seconders, so I'm happy to be seconder. Councillor Wilson. Is there any... You could have moved that before, but Councillor Quinton's moved this one. Okay, so is there anybody against this motion? Okay, so all those in favour? Okay, and that's passed unanimously.
Can I ask a comment for the minutes as to why the officers...
Yes, Councillor Quinton.
Yes. On advice today received from Main Roads, which coincidentally Councillor Wilson also ran Main Roads, it was determined that Main Roads WA do not have a lighting guideline which states that it needs to be of no less than 5 lux. It's also based on advice received from staff at the briefing session last week that 5 lux can actually be too bright for that kind of strip.
Thank you.
Am I able to exercise speaking rights as a secretary?
Well, we didn't go into debate, but if you'd like to say something briefly.
Briefly, for the record, just so there's no confusion that Council is walking away from the idea of there being good street lighting. Certainly, to my way of thinking, this is a sequencing issue. Putting lights on existing poles that are irregularly spaced is not the best way to address the lighting problems in that area. For my way of thinking, the best way to do that is to underground the power, to replace the lighting poles at a proper and optimal distance with good LED lighting is in short, do it once, do it properly. Don't put the lights in the door.
Thank you. All right, so moving on to item 10.3,
this
is the waste collection options from the freeze-in survey. So we have an officer recommendation. Do we have a mover for the recommendation as it's written? Okay, so that lapses, but I believe we've got a foreshadowed or an alternative motion from Councillor Hamilton.
My foreshadowed motion is that Council 1 receives the survey data report on the implementation of a 3-bin waste collection system. 2, notes that officers have submitted a funding application Waste Authority Community and Industry Engagement for the placement of a UV rated sticker attached to recycling bin lids in order to educate residents to recycle correctly. 3, the officer's recommendation 3 is deleted. The new 3 becomes notes that officers are preparing a funding submission to the Government of Western Australia's Waste Authority for funding to implement a better practice curbside collection service, 3-bin system, that will support higher recovery and the achievement of the State Government's 2020 municipal solid waste targets. 4, request staff to apply for the highest level of funding by stipulating that a preference one service will be offered as a standard to all households, which includes an opt-out option for the smaller general waste service and differential pricing for the general waste service. 5, the officer's recommendation is deleted. The new 5 becomes request staff prepare draft project timelines that include a period of public education about the 3-bin system, followed by implementation of the project, and that this draft project timeline that will assist in informing the budgetary requirements of the project be presented to Council via the Council of Bulletin in March 2018. 6, notes a further report will be presented to Council in May 2018 relating to the proposed initiatives.
Thank you. Are there any questions on this item? I've got to give councillors the opportunity to ask a question of the staff. No? Okay, well, we've got a mover for that item. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Lukaciuk? Is there anybody against? Okay, all those in favour? And that's passed unanimously. Moved on to item 10.5, successful access and egress. So I have some amendments that I'd like to put forward for that item. So points 1 and 2, the same as the officer recommendation, adding in a point 3, which is to request Main Roads WA to approve a keep clear pavement marking at the junction of Success Road and Lord Street. Item 4 and 5 remain the same, but item 6 is added in. Request survey respondents and workshop attendees be contacted to communicate the summary of the survey results and Council's decision on this matter. Are there any questions for staff?
You're going to deal with this as an amendment?
What
do you think of that? Well, you're going to foreshadow motion, so you're going to have the amendment moved and seconded, and then it becomes part of the substantive motion.
Well, I think I've just read this out, so if someone's happy to second it as it is, I think we're clear on what.
So it's an alternative motion.
Is that all right?
You said amendment. When you,
yep.
When
okay,
you,
sorry.
That's all.
Is everybody comfortable with where we're at? Yep. Okay, do we have a seconder? Councillor Quinton? Anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Item 10.6, Success Hill Principal Shared Park. Are there any questions on this item? Is that a question, Councillor Wilson?
Yes. I was not on the council when the original proposal was put forward for the principal shared park. I was just wondering if you were able to confirm that the original proposal would have seen all of the trees removed in the establishment of the shared park.
Through the chair, the original proposal wouldn't have removed all of the trees, but the new proposal that's been presented has reduced the number of trees that are essentially going to be removed. And the department has advised that they
had quite extensive discussions with the people in the Department of Transport who are involved in this project, and I must say I've been really impressed with them and their willingness to accommodate what the community has been giving feedback on, because obviously we surveyed the community and the main concerns that were fed back were around the loss of vegetation that the original plan would have necessitated. But Main Roads and the Department of Transport have come back and they've significantly modified the route so that it does retain more trees. And anyone who's interested, there's actually an information sheet at the back. So I think the number of trees to be removed is no large trees, now 5 medium trees and 12 small trees, but they've committed to a 3-for-1 replacement for any trees that are removed. And there's also a proposal for what they're calling a green route, which is to try and enhance the amenity of bike paths so they're more attractive for cyclists and other users of the path. And they're very keen for this section of the PSP to be the demonstration project for that. So I think overall it's a really good outcome if we're able to get all of this. The previous community workshop or a future community workshop? I've probably had more discussions with them than some Stuart Dawkins, and I can confirm that the person who's managing this project is extremely keen to make it work and to recognise the importance that we place on consulting with our community, but they also place to make sure on that so that they get a good outcome and that the community is happy with it. So they've said that they're willing to come and assist us. We may have to contribute some funds if there's a cost involved for that consultation, but they're willing to come and provide the expertise and the information.
Yes, I'm just clarifying that it will include a community workshop.
That's what we request.
Okay.
So I had some amendments, say as an alternative motion. So I was leaving point 1, 2 and most of 3 from the officer's recommendation in place, but I'd like to put the approval subject to 1, any trees requiring removal being replaced 3-to-1 along the principal shared path through the town of Bassendean as per their previous offer, and 2, the Department of Transport implementing the Green Route pilot project to support activation of the proposed Lello Parade principal shared path, deleting point 4 and adding in a new point 4, which is the town liaises with the Department of Transport around community engagement with the Green Route pilot project, and adding in a point 5, request survey respondents and workshop attendees be contacted to communicate the summary of the survey results and council's decision on this matter. Yes. What would you like to suggest?
3.1, maybe instead of any trees, any vegetation. I know that's the third category with shrubs, and it maybe could be, with, of course, I believe our intention is to.
I'm happy with that.
So trees and shrubs.
Which is vegetation.
I was just thinking, say vegetation, that would cover anything that's
wrong. So are you seconding this with that amendment? Okay. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? Okay, that's passed unanimously. 10.7, Surrey Street expenditure. Are there any questions on this item? This wasn't included on the briefing session. No questions? Okay, I'd like to slightly amend the officer recommendation in that case. I'd like to remove where it says option 1 and only leave in option 2C design, and then add in with a view to repurposing the homestead and extension for use as a family and children's services facility.
Yeah.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Quinton? Anybody against?
Oh.
All those in favour?
Oh, yes.
Okay, 10.8.
That's all right. I
understand you have some thoughts on this, but we need to try and keep the meeting.
My thoughts to myself. I just sort of turned around. I don't want to discuss it with you.
Okay. 10.8. So this is unauthorised works at One River Street. Are there any questions on this item? We've had some additional information this week that councillors might need to ask questions on. Is that a question or form related still?
It's a question that I asked an officer who was at the briefing. It's just related to the issue of the possibility of the town providing assistance to the owners of the property to put together a grant application for the grant
I understand that that's part of the full shot-out motion tonight.
Yeah, so I followed that up with the officer involved, and there was no obstacle for that happening. So I've actually included that in an alternative motion, so I'll read that out for councillors to consider. So that council defer this item until the outcome of the landowner's application for a heritage grant under the Heritage Council's 2018-2019 Heritage Grant Program is known, following which a further officer report be referred back to council for consideration, and two, that council offers the landowners of One River Street, Bassendean, assistance from town staff in preparing their application for the Heritage Council's 2018-2019 Heritage Grants Program.
What role is the officer's
recommendation? The officer's recommendation, well, there's an alternative motion because this issue has been ongoing for a long time. It's only recently been brought to the owner's attention. We would like to give the owners the opportunity to apply for the grant and try to remedy the situation. And that is why, after the grants process has been finalised, we'll bring it back so that we can determine the course of action if this is not successful. Okay, so that's the motion. I'm seconding the motion, Councillor Wilson. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? And that is passed unanimously. Item 1010, this is creche services for meetings. Are there any questions for the staff, councillors? Councillor Wilson, I believe you had an alternative motion you wanted to put forward.
The alternative motion that I'd like to move reads as follows. The council one notes the information on options and associated costs in providing on request creche services at town meetings such as council, committee and general meetings that are open to community participation. Two, agrees to a trial of providing creche services provided by Wing and Willow staff at the venue of town meetings that are open to community participation, provided that at least 3 business days notice is given by a parent seeking access to creche services. Three, that this creche trial be allocated $2,150 or last until 30 June 2018, whichever is sooner. Or that the People Services Committee be tasked with conducting an assessment of the uptake, delivery and effectiveness of the trial and make recommendations to Council in relation to the 2018-19 draft budget for the provision of the creche or other forms of childcare services that will remove barriers for community members or caring for children to participate in town meetings. Five, that during the trial period, all meeting notices, agendas and town communications about town meetings open to community participation alert the reader to the availability of on-request free crash services where at least 3 business days notice has been given, including the contact details of our community members and make this request. And six, that the existence of this new trial service and how it is accessed be communicated in the next edition of the BASO briefing on the town webpage and in town communications about meetings that are open to community participation.
Thank you. Are there any questions about this motion?
Thank you, Chair. Yes? I could make 2 comments. One is with regards to item 2. I'm not sure providing the community low staff at the venue, if you could leave those words out, that gives us the ability to apply to anybody because it may not be those people. The other thing is the $2,950, I understand, is coming from a corporate account and we may need an absolute majority for this.
Okay, thank you. So the
Can I suggest appropriately qualified staff rather than Wing and Willow, because we may not have any volunteers from Wing and Willow's to work overtime on it.
I understand the concerns from staff in that regard. My reasons for declining the request is that the Willen and the Willow staff are already covered by an enterprise agreement which provides for overtime. The 3 business days notice would allow time to find out whether staff are available to volunteer to work overtime. And I'm keen to ensure that the high standards of industrial conditions that are enjoyed by downtown staff are maintained by the ones providing the service and are not undercut by any other on-site positions.
Are there any further questions? Yes, we've got a mover and a second for this alternate motion. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Pinton. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? It's passed unanimously. Okay, 10-11. This is the Bassendean Bowling Club lease. Councillor Hamilton, I think you wanted to make an amendment, which we don't have in writing at this point. My understanding is the next Audit and Governance Committee is mid-March, is that correct? Okay, so your motion is that the item be deferred until after it's been considered by Audit and Governance on the 14th of March. Okay. Is there a seconder for Councillor Hamilton's motion? Councillor Nikitia? Okay. Anybody against? All those in favour? Amy, are you okay with the wording of that motion?
Yes.
Okay. 10-12, it's appointment of a member to the Access and Inclusion Committee. So Councillor Quinton, who was previously a member of this committee, but due to work commitments is unable to attend during the day. I see Councillor Hamilton putting her hand up. So you are nominating. Is there anybody else who would like to nominate for the committee? All right, so... I will move that Councillor Hamilton is appointed to this committee. Is there a seconder? Councillor Quinton, all those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Okay, item 10.13. So, Councillor Wilson, you had a discussion with me about this earlier today. Would you like me to recap the discussion? Yes. So at the moment, this item is on the general agenda, not being discussed behind closed doors. There was thought that considering that there is a budget allocation for the appointment of a recruitment consultant, that in order to avoid the people who are providing quotes for this work seeing the amount that we've allocated, that we discuss it behind closed doors and make that amount public after the consultant has been appointed, in which case we would need to consider this item behind closed doors. So, Councillor Wilson, so we're moving to consider this item after item 13.3 and to go behind closed doors. So Councillor Wilson has moved it, I've seconded it. I'm sorry, Councillor Hunter. Anyone against? All those in favour? Okay, that's passed unanimously. We'll consider that at the end of the evening. Okay. Thank you. All right, so item 11.1. This is Councillor Hamilton's notice of motion. Are there any questions for the staff? This is on reward and penalty for vandalism of street trees on public property policy. No questions? Okay, so you're moving the motion, Councillor Hamilton?
Yes.
Yeah. We've got a seconder. Councillor Nikitiuk? We're on 11.1, notice of motion. Sorry. No, you're right. Just tell me if you need to slow down. Okay, so we've had the notice of motion moved by Councillor Hamilton, seconded by Councillor Nikitiuk.
Thank you.
Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Okay, so that brings us to confidential items. So thank you to the members of... we'll go behind closed doors first. So can I have a mover to go behind closed doors? Councillor Brown, Councillor Hamilton seconded. All those in favour? Okay, it's passed unanimously. Thank you to the members of public for attending.